We left off the previous year discussing the question of just how effective the principle of Sveik Sveika is. The Gemara tells us that there is a concept of Sveik Sveika, that even though normally Sveika derais is Lachomer, when you have one doubt, one has to be Machmer. When you have a double doubt, so then one has the right to be lenient. The question is, does that principle of Sveik Sveika work if you have, in a sense, contradicting it, a Chazoka? You have a Chazoka Mekar, you have a status quo. So the status quo is something used to be Osir. Now I want to know, has that status quo changed or not? So whenever we're going up against the chazok, against the status quo, that becomes a whole other picture. So can Sveik Sveika overcome chazok or not? So we had that discussion is directly impacted our sugya, because our Gemara spoke about a whole complicated scenario of a woman who's having a miscarriage, and we're trying to figure out which day the miscarriage really was, when did most of the blood come out. And basically what it ended up was, they have a scenario where she's mafelsa shilya, the sack comes out, part of it comes out on Sunday, and part of it comes out on Monday, and we're trying to scratch our heads and figure out which day did Rove of the baby really come out, because that's the day that's going to declare it to be a Yolades, and we throw our hands up and say, we don't know, we're not sure. So the Gemara says, therefore we have to be Machmir, and we have to declare it to be Tameah from day one, but we can't start counting the 2 weeks and to let it go to the mikveh until starting from day two. So Tosus asked the question, what's so terrible? Why can't you start the count from day one? What's the problem? It's a suffix. It's not a suffix. It's a sveik sveika. Because if you start counting from day one, you have two things in your favor. First of all, maybe taka really was from day one, so maybe you're okay. That's suffix number one. And suffix number two is maybe it was a zohar. Maybe it wasn't even a female in the first place, which would have meant that the mate tumor were over already a week ago. So we have two significant grounds. We have two doubts. We have two sveikas to declare this woman is ready to go to the mikveh, eligible to go to the mikveh, and eligible to begin to count the days of Tohar, all blood that comes after those 14 days is Dam Tohar. So we have a right to declare her to become Tohar at the earliest stage based on his fake speaker. That was Tosa's question. We didn't get anywhere near what Tosa's answer was. We got a while to go till we get near that, as to why that's not true. What's wrong with that fake speaker? But Tosa's presented that as a valid fake speaker. So the Shiv Kubetzes made the observation of this Tosfos that how could you even present this as a Sveik Sveika? Doesn't the woman have a Cheskes Tumah? Once she's declared to be Tameah, so day one, day two, day three, for 14 days she's Tameah, 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 Tameah. And now we're trying to suggest that status quo has changed. How can you invoke Sveik Sveika to change your status quo? Says the Shiv Kubetzes, you can. And I'm not going to have that you see from here. Or we're going to turn a kash into a teretz. Yeah, see from here that you can. The Shita doesn't explain to us why we would have thought otherwise and what the kamash malan is. He just tells you, see from this, tells us that that is the case. So we went searching, we went searching for us on Wednesday, and he dug up a Tosas in Masechus Chulin that said pretty much the same thing in the complicated case of a fake sveik and a chashchita. Even though chashchita always is going up against the chazaka, because the animal used to be osur, and now we're trying to figure out, has that changed? So once again, if you follow sveik sveik and a chashchita, that also points in the direction that sveik sveik works even against the chazaka. So we have two Tosas, and we have our Tosas, we have a Tosas and Chulin, that are both pointing in the same direction. Nevertheless, there is a sugya Masechus Chulin that has to be understood in light of this discussion, and that's the sugya of the sixth of the Mar Mekomos of Masechus Chulin. So the Gemara Chulin, Daf Yud Amud Aleph, Itmar, we learned the following. Hashochet besakin v'nimtzeis paguma. If a person shechts an animal, and after they finish shechting, they take a look at the knife, and they notice, oh my goodness, there's a little bit of a nick of the knife, a little bit of a scratch, a little bit something wrong with the knife. Now, before they shechted, presumably the knife was okay. If it wasn't okay, then they should have been using it in the first place, because the halacha requires that you do bedikas asakim. So you have to check that if anyone's ever seen a shechita, so you ever see right before the shechita, so the shochet stands there. I always shake when I see this, but he takes his finger and starts running his finger. You run it, your fingernail across, and then you run the flesh of your finger itself across all the sides of the... I never understood why, but I guess that's part of being an experienced shochet. But you have to do it very, very delicately, very, very gently to make sure that you don't catch. If you catch something, if you can nick or something, then you have to go back to the drawing board. You bring out your stone again, your knife sharpened, and start getting rid of that pegimas. That's a din that a shechit knife is not allowed to have a pegimah. Those mishnai, sugyas in the Gemara. There's a shayla, we show them exactly what the source of that is. Is that part of The halacha of Shemesina of Shechita is that just for the very word Rishachat itself has the connotation that you're not allowed to rip the Sibar. We got a different sources for where that din comes from. But the bottom line is that's a din and a Torah, no question about it, that a Pegima will disqualify Shechita. So here the person is Shechting, and presumably there was no Pegima, but now he's got a big problem because a second after the Shechita is over, there is a Pegima there. So the question is, where did that Pegima come from? So comes the Gemara and says, "It was shochet b'sachar v'sis pekuma." Amar Rav Huna filu shiba bat samos kolayom psula cheshirin shem ba'or nifkuma. Rav Huna says that even if you didn't check the knife right away, even if after you finish shechting, you use that same knife to start chopping bones of meat, so that would lead us to believe that it probably came from the chopping of the bones. But it's only one word, probably. We don't know for sure. There is an outside chance that it came from the ore, that it came from the skin of the animal itself. So the tough skin, the heart of the animal, you start to shecht, and it could be that the skin itself nicked into the knife a little bit, and that would pose a serious problem, because by the time you got to the simanim, that's the key. It doesn't matter what it looked like before. What it matters is, at the time of the cutting of the simanim, of the trachea, of the esophagus, that's what the halacha of Shemesina requires to be cut. If that knife had a pegima in it at that time, that's a huge problem. So Rav Huna says, I don't know. I don't know where the pegima came from. It's possible that it came afterwards because the guy's been chopping bones afterwards. So that's a good possibility. On the other hand, there is a possibility that it came from beforehand, which would disqualify the shechita. So Rav Huna says, sorry, that the shechita is no good. Rav Chisda Amak Sheira. And Rav Chisda says, no, that the shechita is okay. The shechita is acceptable. Shema be'etzem nifkema. Rav Chisda says you have a right to assume that it's maybe it's a little bit of a funny lashon. Shema be'etzem nifkema. It's almost like vade be'etzem nifkema. It's much more likely that it was caused. The pegima was caused by banging against the bones. So machlekes Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. I have a latest asafik. I don't know when the pegima was caused. Was it caused pre the shechita, which would be in the veila? Was it caused post the shechita, would be perfectly acceptable. So the Gemara says, Bishlam Rav Huna kishmaisei. The Gemara says that Rav Huna makes a lot of sense. Rav Huna is very, very simple to understand. Why? Because Rav Huna goes l'shitaso. And then the Gemara is going to question what Rav Chisda held. So what does that mean, Rav Huna l'shitaso? So if we take a look at the next line on the Marmak with the Rashi, kishmaisei, the Amaliel, b'cheskes Yisra medes, ad she'yivad l'chama men nishchita, v'zu nolad basafik b'shchita. So Rav Huna makes a very, very loaded statement in Maseches Chulin Daf Tez. It repeats it several times over in the Masechta. Amar Rav Huna, Behema Bechayeha, Becheskas Iser Omedes. And Behema, when it's alive, has a Chazoka that's working against it. There's a Cheskas Iser against Behema. What does that mean? What's the Cheskas Iser in the Behema? Because presumably you can't eat the Behema when it's alive. Since it's Aser min haTorah to take a bite out of a live animal. So it's labeled in Halacha as a Cheskas Iser. Now, if you have a Suffolk in the Shechita, you're not sure whether the Cheskas Iser has changed or not. So we have now a Suffolk, and when you have a Suffolk going up against the Chazaka, that's a big problem. That the Cheskas Iser is going to be Kaveh, that's going to establish, that's going to determine for us that I cannot eat the animal. So this is the source of Rav Huna's famous statement, all Sveikas and Shechita L'chumra. Anytime the Shechit is not sure, did I Shech this way, did I do this way, was it Kosher, was it no Kosher, was the knife for the Pekim and Nishkarir, does all Sveikas and Shechita automatically have to go L'chumra? Because Behemah Bechayah Becheskas Iser Omedes. There is a technical problem that the Rishonim deal with, is that the facts are not true. What do you mean that Behemah Bechayah Becheskas Iser Omedes? What's the Cheskas Iser of a Behemah? So the Cheskas Iser is Eifah Menachai. I'm not allowed to walk up to a live animal and take a bite out of it. So that's an Iser of Eifah Menachai. But now the problem is, once I know for a fact the animal is dead, the Chazaka is over. It means normally Chazaka means, I have a Chazaka that this is Aser, and I'm not sure, did that particular Chazaka change or not? So I have a latest Asafik. So the Torah tells us, as we spoke about the other day, learned out from Pesukim Rabbi Sabinuga, that you always follow the Chazaka until you know to the contrary. But that's very, very different from this case, because in this case, we know the Chazaka has been canceled. The animal's dead. It's dead no matter what. It's dead whether it was shechted, whether it was a nevela. The animal's dead. And therefore, Eva Menachai obviously doesn't apply anymore. So how in the world can you bring back, no pun intended, bring back to life if the Chazaka itself has clearly been abolished? So this is a major machlekes of Rishonim. So Rashi says the answer to this question is a new klal called Machzikin Me'iser Le'iser. In Okadami, says Rashi, the name of the original Isser is over, and now we're being done on a second Isser, a new Isser. Now we have a suffix, is it Chal, it is a Nevelana, says Rashi, Chazoka Bekar is so powerful that even though the original Isser is over, that the remnant of that is the Shiraim of that Isser, it can be Machzik Me Isser Li Isser. So the Chazoka was addressing Isser A, called Eva Menachai. The latest Asafik is addressing Isser B, called Nevela. It doesn't matter. Machzik Me Isser Li Isser. That's a tremendous Kiddush. So Tosus, every time this Rashi comes up, Tosus says it's not true. Tosus says, we've never heard of such a thing. If the first Chazoka, the first Isser is over, it's over, it's history. So now we have a new Safik without a Cheskes Isser. So Tosus says, no. Machzikin Me Isser is not true. But I'll tell you why this is a valid application of Chazaka. It says to us, why are you not allowed to eat a live animal? So, the guy standing there in the zoo, he wants to take a bite out of the cow. Says, why is that also? So we think, why is that also? Eva Menachai. Of course it's also Eva Menachai. Tos says, you're right. There's an Issa Gomer of Eva Menachai, a Bosa Menachai, no shayla about Yichai Malchus. But there's another Isser. You know what the other Isser is? The Torah says, V'zavach l'kasher tivisicha. You have to shecht an animal before he can eat it. Any partaking of animal flesh pre-shechita is an Issa Goma min HaTorah. Forget about Eva Menachai. It's an Issa Goma min HaTorah. It's an Issa Essay. V'zavachta kasher tivisicha. V'zavachta, yes. Anything not v'zavachta, no. So just keep that on the back burner, says Tosa. So when you want to take a bite out of the cow, besides the malchus we're going to give you for Eva Menachai, Basa Menachai, besides all that, tucked away in the corner is an Issa Goma of an Issa Essay called Eina Zavucha. Now, a person comes and sits down and wants to eat a piece of nevela. Why can't you eat nevela? When I go into a tray for a butcher store and buy a piece of meat, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Lo sechlik on nevela. That's an issa gomer min atari, yechayev malchus. That's a disaster. Nevela means an animal that wasn't shechted. So says, you're right, 100%, yechayev malchus. But you should just know that in addition to that issa, lav, with malchus and nevela, by the way, tucked under the corner is, if you eat meat that wasn't shechted, so you're over the Isser Essay of Eina Zavucha. So says Tosfos, by Gatli, that Isser of Eina Zavucha applies to both cases. The Isser Essay that Tosfos just made up, Gemara never says such a thing, that Isser Essay that Tosfos just discovered, based on the Pesukim of Parshas Re'e, V'zavachta Prat, that wasn't shechted, that Isser appears both for a live animal as well as for a Nevela. Says Tosfos, that's the Chazaka. That's the Chazaka that still exists. So according to Tosfos, Eimachzik in Yisr Liyisr, you cannot go from Isser A to Isser B. So if we were just dealing with an Isser Eva Menachai, that had a Cheskes Isser, and now we're trying to carry that over to Nevela, you got the wrong Isser. So that's not called the Chazaka. The only reason why Rav Huna said what he said was because since there's, in between the lines, there's an Isser Essiyav Eina Zavucha that happens to exist, just by golly, by coincidence, happens to exist, both for live animals as well as for non-shechted properly animals, it's that Isser Essay that's the source of Rav Huna's statement. So whether you like Rashi, like Tosfos, at the end of the day, Rav Huna sticks this position that there is a quote-unquote Cheskes Isser here. So comes the Gemara now and goes one step further. Comes the Gemara in the seventh of the Marmakabos, in Chulun of Yudam and Beis, and has the following Shaila. Hava Uvda, v'toraf Yav Yosef, atleisa chiyusa, Kiman, Kirav Huna, v'afil b'kamaisa. There was a story that Shoichet, he checked his knife, Kedasachudin, did what he was supposed to do, then he started shechting, and he shechted 13 animals. And he didn't bother to check the knife after the shechit like he was supposed to make sure that everything was intact, everything was good. And he just kept on rolling. The assembly line was coming, the animals were going. After an hour of shechitas, he's catching his breath, and then he takes a look at the knife, and by golly, what happened? There's a tegima on the knife. So now we're in a big pickle. So again, according to Rav Chisda, you can begin to discuss, well, maybe the tegima happened later. According to Rav Huna, it's done. According to Rav Huna, Behema, Bechayah, Becheskes, Isra, Medes, all Sfeikas and Shechit have to go, the Chumrah. And the Gemara says that Rabbi Yosef, when he was brought that Shaila, trafed up all 13 animals, even the first one. Even the first one, the Gemara says, was considered to be a Nevela, according to the Psach of Rabbi Yosef, who was following the view of Rav Huna. Everything was also a Legamre, even animal number one. So, what's the Kiddush of animal number one? Why should that be any better? So comes the Gemara already in the Rishonim and pick up on the following. Wait a second, hold on. Stop for a second. why should we declare that even the first animal is an Avela? Maybe we have a Sveik Sveik on our sides. What's the Sveik Sveik? Huh? So it sounds, don't jump at me for the Sveik Sveik yet. You can blame the Rishonim for the Sveik Sveik, but this man may not be a good Sveik Sveik. You're going to catch immediately what the problem is. So come to Rishonim and say, wait a second, hold the phone. We have a Sveik Sveik. What's a Sveik Sveik? Huh? Now, when did this Pegima happen? Maybe the Pegima happened before the first Shechita, and maybe it happened right after the first Shechita. It's possible, because every time you shecht, it's possible that you, after you cut the simanim, you bang into the neck bone, so that could potentially cause a Pegima in the animal, in the knife, I'm sorry, but on the other hand, we don't know. That maybe it was caused by the oar, maybe it was caused by the etzem. It was caused by the oar, that's a disaster, because then it got a Pegima before I cut the simanim. Maybe it was caused by the etzem. That's something number one. Something number two is, well, maybe it happened much later. Maybe it was a later shechita, one of the other 13 shechitas that caused the Pegima. So when it comes to the first shechita, maybe we could pull off a stunt and call that a Sveik Sveika. Shema, that it's from the first animal, maybe from the later animals. And even if it's from the first animal, maybe it's from before the Shechita, maybe it's from after the Shechita. It's a Sveik Sveika. So what happened to a Sveik Sveika? What is wrong? I say what's wrong. I'm not even sure what's right with that Sveik Sveika. What is wrong with that Sveik Sveika? So wait. So believe it or not, the Rashba, already in a tshuva, the 8th of the Rambam Kamos, discusses this, about what is potentially valid with this Sveik Sveika. And we're not going to read the whole Rashba inside for two reasons. This is a complicated Rashba. Number two, the Shach claims that there's a Tol Sofer in this Rashba. He claims that there's a line missing in the Rashba. So according to the Shach, the most important part of the Rashba is the part that's not there. There's a line that he claims was left out by mistake. So bottom line, I'll try to recap for you what the Rashba does or does not say. And there are radically two different ways of understanding this Gemara in Maseches Chulin. So there are some who say, I'll tell you what's wrong with the Sveik Sveika. It's a Sveik Sveika against a Cheskes Isser. So there are a whole group of poskim, the Shach quotes already such an idea, that there are some poskim who said that the reason why the ultimate deficiency in the Sveik Sveika is because it's going up against the Chazaka. Because remember we said, whenever you have a Sufik in Shechita, you're going up against the Chazaka. Either Rashi's version of the Chazaka or Tosa's version. But at the end of the day, it's a Chazaka. I'm Ravuna Behevachev Cheskes this. So since you're going up against the status quo, Sveik Sveik is fail you. That's one way of understanding. If that would be true, that would put this sugya at odds with the Tosim that we've seen. This would contradict the Tosas in our sugya. This would contradict the Tosas later on in Maseches Chulin. But maybe, says the Shach, we got the whole thing wrong. Maybe the reason why this Sveik Sveika is no good is not because it's going up against the Chazaka, but because it's just simply no good. There is something very, very deficient in this Sveik Sveika. What is wrong with this Sveik Sveika? So this is the first time we're going to introduce the concept of a Sveik Sveika called, it's the Sveik Sveika Beh, who's going to call it? B'Shem Echad. It's the same suffix. Sveik Sveika usually means you have two independent Sveikas. Like let's say in our case, we're not sure whether the baby came out on day one or day two. That's one suffix. Then the second independent suffix is it a boy or is it a girl? It's not the same suffix. Those are two different factors that collide together to create a Sveik Sveika. Over here, you're just saying the same thing over again. Namely, yeah, you have one suffix. The suffix is, when did the knife get the Pegima? Was it before the Shechita? Was it after the Shechita? So if it was before the Shechita, that's bad. If it's after the Shechita, that's good. So what's called after the Shechita? After the Shechita is called either after the first Shechita or after the 13th Shechita. It's the same suffix. Means that it doesn't matter whether it got a Pegima on Shechita number 7, Shechita number 9, Shechita number 1, Shechita number 13. If it was pre-Simanim, it's a problem. If it's post-Simanim, it's not a problem. So you're just revamping the same suffix. That's called the Sveik Sveika B'Shem Echad, and that's a flagrant violation of Hilchot Sveik Sveika, according to some Rishonim. It's a Sveik Sveika, that's a Sveik Sveika. So we have a lot of work to do on this. So comes the Shach and says, don't bring me a raya from this Gemara. You thought, that he quotes earlier Acharonim who said, they discovered this Gemara, and this Gemara says that the Sveik Sveika is no good. And what happened to Sveik Sveika? So come a group of early Acharonim and say, well, it's against the Chazaka, that's what's no good. And comes the Shach and says, no, that's not the reason why it's no good. The reason why it's no good is because it's the Sveik Sveika B'Shem Echad. So according to the Shach, that's the line that's missing in this Rashba. That's the punchline of the Sugya, and that line is missing in the Rashba. So when all the dust settled, we still have this question that we're posing. Sveik Sveik on one hand, Chazaka Meikar on the other hand, which is more powerful? So we weren't sure, we didn't know what the din was. The Kubetzas and asked your question, Tosfos, but at the end of the day, Tosfos says it, that Sveik Sveika beats out a Chazaka. We had a Tosfos in Chulin on Daf Kav Ches that Rabbi Kivega discovered also, that a Sveik Sveika beats out a Chazaka. But now we're taking a little bit of a step back, a little bit of hesitation, because this Gemara in Chulin Daf Yud, at least according to some, we're saying the opposite. So again, we can weasel our way out of that. We can get out of that Gemara by calling it a Shemechon and calling it a day. But we should be honest that there was some poskim who saw on that sugya a proof that Sveik Sveika does not work against the Chazaka.
Is there a Chazaka that the knife is kosher?
There's a Chazaka that the knife is kosher, but that gets very, very tricky because you now begin to have contradictions in Sveikas, in Chazakas. You have a Chazaka that the knife is kosher. You also have a Chazaka that the animal was Be'isura. And now you have a Chazaka, the Hashda, namely that now the knife has a Pegima. And that right now in front of you there's a Pegima. So that's what's called an Alcha Taita, the Reyesa. You have three Chazakas. Two in the past tense and one in the present tense. And when you have a past and a few and a present together, you have two chazakas combined together to offset one. That's the sugya beginning with sechas need to go tight to the rest. So that gets even more complicated. But you are correct that the knife does have a chazaka in its favor, but it's going to lose because of the chazaka, the hashta.
But after the first shechita, that chazaka of the knife being kosher is gone.
Well, it's still there. We have reyesas in the knife, but the original chazaka is still there.
Really?
Because we don't know for sure that he's saying chazaka, it still applies. Close by, we don't know for a fact it's changed. So there are different kinds of chazakas. There are chazakas should know them have reyesas, and the chazakas should know them have reyesas. Not all chazakas are the same. I remember when I was in 11th grade, so we were learning the first Berakha Masechus Pesachim. And a sugya came up about the chazakas and sveikas, and we had a reference as Gemara about Rav Huna about and Daf Yud. So I remember at the time my Rebbe, Mordechai Markishli, I remember he was reading us this Gemara in Chulin Daf Yud, Amar Rav Huna, and I still remember his words. He said, a lot of ink has been spilled over the years about Rav Huna's statement. Amar Rav Huna behem b'chem b'chazin sameres. So I was a little kid, I was 16 years old, and I was like, okay, that sounds nice, like there must be a hot topic. As I get older and older and older, I see it gets more and more ink. More ink's been spilled in the last 30 years since, 30 years, how old am I? 40 years almost since you made that statement. So it's a very, very big topic that we're embarking upon. So if you remember on Wednesday, so we said we have almost two different goals in our sugya. We have to first collect all the data and figure out, well, who's saying what? Which Rishonim is saying Chazaka works, beats out a Sveik Sveik, which is saying otherwise. So we've already collected three, four different sugyas. But now we have to get to the second part, really the heart and soul of the sugya, is that why should any of this be so? If I were to ask you logically, why should a Sveik Sveik overcome a Chazaka? Or maybe why shouldn't it overcome a Chazaka? In order to answer that question properly, we have to understand, well, why Sveik Sveik works in the first place. So we've been throwing around this idea of Sveik Sveik for the last couple of Shiurim. Yeah, we have Sveik Sveik, everything's great, it's wonderful. Now we have to take a step back and ask ourselves, where did this come from? How is this so? How did Chazal know this is so? That there's a principle of Sveik Sveik. Chazal never answered that question. Chazal speak about Sveik Sveikas. The Gemara in Ksubas Daf Tes speaks about Sveik Sveikas. The Rishonim speak about Sveik Sveikas in many, many different applications. But the underlying question, where and how and why does a Sveik Sveika work, is very, very unclear. So that part of the sugya begins with an even more unclear statement of the Rambam in the ninth of the Maamar Kavos, where the Rambam in Perek Tes Halacha Yudbeis and Hilchos Tumas Meis makes a sweeping statement that I think we could say about this Rambam. Much ink has been spilt in this Rambam also. The Rambam says, Dover Yadua, it is known. So you should just know, whenever the Rambam says Dover Yadua, we're already in for trouble because there are Rishonim who didn't, clearly was not Yadua to them. But Dover Yadua, says the Rambam, it is known, Shekol Eilu HaTumas V'chayel Tzeben She'em Mishum Safek Arehen Shal Difrayen. The Rambam has just finished a whole series of different examples of Tumas Meis. A person came into contact with a dead body, but not for sure. All kind of sveikas, he's standing under this branch, the mace, maybe there, maybe not, there, all kind of convoluted scenarios, whether a sveikas, whether the person became tummy to his mace or not. So the dinner is tummy and tummy. Everywhere we pass it, there's a suffix your tummy, there's a suffix your tummy, that's a suffix your tummy. Says the Rambam, you should just know that everything I just told you for the last 20 halachas, they're all mishum suffix, and therefore the tumor is only midirabbanan. Minat Torah, we never declare a person to be tummy if we're not sure. The ain't tummy minat Torah. Elamisha nitma tumas vadai. says the only time that we declare somebody to be Tomei Midaraisa, with all the ramifications thereof, is only if we could say for certainty, you touched the dead body. You were literally standing in the same room with the dead body. You are Tomei Midaraisa. Any kind of these half-baked tumors, maybe I'm Tomei, maybe I was under the same roof, maybe this, maybe a whole but whatever the scenario is, these are all chumras midirabbanan. About kol sveikis, says the Rambam, all sveikis. Now, if the Rambam would have just stopped here, we wouldn't have gotten too excited. We would have said, okay, yeah, this is something unique to Tuma, and, you know, we're not learning to Vatar right now. Says the Rambam, kol sveikis, bein betumas, bein b'mabacholos asuros. All of a sudden, the Rambam switched to his kashas. And the Rambam is saying, if you have a suffolk where the meat is kosher, bein b'arayas, you're not sure whether a particular woman is asur to you, v'shabosos, you don't know whether it's Shabbos or not. You're stuck in it. You're not sure. Is today Friday? Is today Shabbos? You have sveikis. All kind of different sveikis in halacha. Listen to this. Ein lehem elami divrei soferim. Says the Rambam, if you come and ask a rabbi, Rabbi, I don't know whether this meat is kosher. The rabbi says, well, kind of try, don't eat it. That's only midarabonim. Midarais, if you ask for a shaman, you can eat the meat. We know, everyone knows there's a cloud called Tzveikah Darais al-Chumra. What is the Rambam telling us? That cloud itself is a Chumra midarabonim. That means midarais, there's no such thing. Midarais, Safek in Shabbos, and Safek in Arais, and Safek in Mechos Asuras. All Tzveikahs are mutar. I don't want to read the brackets yet, because there's a big machlokes whether the brackets are accurate or not. Kamosha biyarnu, the last question, biyarnu bichos yisura biyarnu kama, says the Rambam, I've explained this to you time and time again, that there's a principle that all sveikis are mutar min hatorah. End of discussion. If that is the case, so then come a group of Gedolei Acharonim, both the Pri Begodim and the Pnei Yeshua, the Gedolei Acharonim say, according to the Rambam, we may have a key to unlock this riddle, why sveikis are mutar. Make a simple calculation, say the Acharonim. According to the Rambam, a guy comes to the rabbi and says, Rabbi, I have a piece of meat. It's a suffolk whether it's kosher or not. What does the rabbi say? Min haTorah it's okay, but min haRabbanan you're not allowed to eat it. Now the guy comes and says, guess what? I have a second doubt. I have a sveikah. What is that in effect tantamount to? If you have a sveikah, what we're saying is the first suffolk already knocked it down to a haRabbanan. The second suffolk, we can apply the principle called sveikah haRabbanan l'kula. So every sveikah is just a very fancy way of saying sveikah derabanan l'kula. Since the first suffolk already took it from being deraisa to being derabanan, the second suffolk is going to give you a green light. The second suffolk is going to make it mutter. So according to the Gedolei Acharonim b'das Rambam, the Rambam himself never makes this connection at all. We don't have any Rambam that makes that crosses this bridge. But both the Pri Megodim and the Pnei Yeshua say, according to the Rambam, we can understand how sveikah works. Sveikahs are nothing more than an application of sveikah derabanan l'kula. Suffice it to say that what the Rambam said is Dov Yadua is far from Yadua. Anyone who questions what the Rambam just said will by definition have to question this reason for sveikahs. So we still have a lot of work cut out for us. Hopefully that's Shabbat Tuesday. We have to go back to the drawing board to figure out why sveikahs are really mutter according to the non-Rambam people. And then eventually, once we figure out why sveikahs work, then we go back to the drawing board and figure out should they work against the Chazak and Alfred. Shabbat Tuesday, we'll continue this thing.